This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Have fun, travel, be yourself, and of course, wear sunscreen. Just a few of the nuggets of advice new graduates may have heard at commencement, then, after pomp and circumstance ebbed and the mortarboards hit the ground, from parents or their friends or their friends of their parents, high school and college graduates are bombarded with advice and optimism. Unless they heard the commencement speech at Haverford College this year. We'll get to that in a little bit later in the program. But if you've been the recipient or the dispenser of advice to grads, we'd like to hear from you. What was the best? What was the worst? 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, email talk@npr.org. You can join the conversation on our blog, npr.org/blogofthenation. Later in the program, what drove a celebrity columnist to raise the white flag? Hank Stuever joins us. But first, advice to graduates. And we need to begin with an advisory. We've figured out a way to automatically deduct $5 from the bank account of each and every one of you who calls or emails with plastics. Amy Dickinson joins us now, as she does every other Thursday. She writes the syndicated column Ask Amy for the Chicago Tribune. She's with us from our bureau in Chicago. Hey, Amy.
Hey, Neil, and the proud mother of a proud graduate.
And your daughter graduates this weekend.
She does.
And are you ready with any good advice for her?
Well, you know, it's funny. I actually heard some today at her school. I'll share that later.
All right. But in the meantime, do you remember any graduation advice you received, lo, those many years ago?
Well, when I was a college graduate, we had as our commencement speaker a then little-known, very obscure young governor from a southern state who had already, by the age of 30, become a governor, passed through his term, and failed to win his next election. His name was Bill Clinton.
Whatever happened to him?
I don't know. Poor thing.
Yeah.
But he actually gave a very memorable speech. He had, lived a life already of some consequence. And I remember being very excited by his call to run out and change the world. Yeah.
And you did that.
Oh, yes. You know what I love? I love the commencement speakers who tell, you know, they look out on this sea of faces and they tell these kids to take a chance, you know, take risks. Now, Katie Couric, I happened to see a clip of a commencement speech she gave last week, and she was, get out there, take some risks. And, well, I happen to know her a little bit, and I asked her once what her first job out of college was. Guess what? Oh, she was a production assistant at ABC News. You know, I mean,
step one on the rung for which she's clung desperately every step of the way.
And that's what I think, that sometimes we adults are admonishing young people to do things that we didn't have the guts to do ourselves, you know.
Similarly, in a way this was inspired. We got a call in our letters segment from somebody who remembered advice Conan O'Brien gave a few years ago to a graduating class at Harvard, where he said, make mistakes and don't be afraid to make mistakes. And that seems on the face of it like a good advice.
It does. And actually, it's advice I would also give. But I think we need to remember what that feels like to hear. I mean, my favorite commencement speeches are full of actually practical advice. You know, the famous wear sunscreen speech that my friend and colleague Mary Smeach wrote as a joke,
yeah,
pretty much. You know, there was one line in there besides wear sunscreen and learn how to do your own laundry. Take care of your knees. You'll need them one day. You know, I mean, it's really memorable for these, you know, little nuggets of very practical advice. Those are the things I tend to remember.
There's a movie, I think, Billy Crystal comes back in great old age to talk to himself at a younger age. And the younger one says, is there any advice you give me? He says, floss.
Yeah, really.
Let's get some callers on the line. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. Erin is calling us. Erin in Portland, Oregon.
Hi. I was just calling. I graduated from college a couple of years ago, and it's really hard when you have the first 22 years of your life planned out, you know, exactly what you're going to do, and then all of a sudden, you know, the rug is pulled out from under you and you have to figure out what happens next. And I went through a period of, oh, I'm going to go to law school or public policy. And I kind of went through like six different careers in 6 months. And then I just sort of picked up and moved cross country where I didn't know anyone and took 2 years off and figured out who I was and what I wanted. And I have to say, like, to people who are graduating, that's the best thing that I think myself and my friends did for ourselves. was to just take some time off and figure out who we are and what we wanted, because it was the first time in our lives that we really had that opportunity to do so.
I think that is absolutely fantastic advice, because I remember when I was in college, we were very averse to doing that. I think it's natural when you're 21, 22 years old to be very nervous about that next thing. And I went to Georgetown University, which is considered a pre-professional school in a lot of ways. And I remember that second semester of senior year, everyone all of a sudden got very panicky and raced off to law school. And you never saw so many unhappy lawyers. And it was really the default position, and I'm so glad I didn't think to do something like that.
You know, I was, you know, I couldn't bring myself to study for the LSATs, and that was kind of a sign to me that that wasn't what I should be doing. And, you know, I just sort of had a nervous breakdown, and I went to University of Michigan. I spent my whole life in Michigan, and I literally just packed up my car and drove to Oregon and, you know, didn't know anyone, didn't have a job, didn't have a place to live, and I just sort of put myself in a situation where I had to figure it out, and I am a much more together, mature, directed person now for having done that. And so most of my friends who have done something similar feel the same way.
I'm dying to find out who you are and what you do.
Well, right now I'm a social worker. I'm working with adults with disabilities, and I'm actually going to be going to grad school in the fall. But it, you know, took me a couple of years to figure out what exactly I wanted to do program-wise and where. And, you know, now I feel really confident in my decision, and I'm very sure about what I want to do long-term. And I'm really, really grateful for the 2 years that I took.
Erin, I just thought you should tell Amy that the you could read the bio on the Nobel Committee's webpage.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I have to thank you for the choice you've made, too. You're in your career, you're going to help a lot of people, and really, really, you will make a difference in the world, which is, of course, what all of these graduation speakers advise you to do.
Oh, absolutely. That was, I know, I didn't know how I wanted to do it, but I know I knew that I wanted to be, you know, a progressive and proactive person who is, you know, working for change. I didn't know how I was going to do that, but, you know, I think I've started to find some direction with that. I'm going to school for educational theater and community organizing, and I'm really excited about it.
Well, great. Good luck to you, Erin.
Thank you very much, Neil.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks.
There is some graduation advice that students may not want to hear. Barbara Ehrenreich was the commencement speaker at Haverford College this year. Brian Till was in the audience, was a little shocked by some of what she had to say. Brian will be a senior at Haverford College come the fall. He joins us here in Studio 3A. Nice to have you on the program today.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So what was Barbara Ehrenreich's advice to the Haverford graduates?
Well, the title of the talk gives somewhat of a hint. It's called The Apocalypse Is Yours. And that really set the tone for it. I'll quote a little bit of it just to give you a sense. This wasn't the very beginning, but it was pretty early on, she said. The moment you accept your diploma today, you'll have an average debt of $20,000 and no health insurance. You may be feeling desperate enough to take whatever comes along. Some of you will get caged into cubicles until you're ejected by the next wave of layoffs. Others, some of the best and brightest of you, in fact, will still be behind the counter in Starbucks or Borders 3 years down the road.
And I'm sure the campus then rang with cheers.
Oh, yeah. There were crickets, you know. like you guys have been saying, this is off the beaten path. A lot of graduation speeches I've heard, at least, are sort of go forward into the world. You know, you're prepared for anything that's coming your way.
And you the future is yours.
Exactly. That you've been trained well and you can do anything.
And you've written a piece about what you heard from Barbara Ehrenreich and have come to the conclusion that she's righter than she is wronger.
She is. And my assessment of it has drawn some criticism in my emails. And actually, the most interesting was the response that editors gave me. I got a number of almost talk me off the cliffs emails back from editors from around the country. One said, "I've never seen someone so young in their career, so sorry for themselves." Another, a woman from Southern California, actually joked that I should consider moving out there to cheer myself up. But I think her advice was really sort of twofold. Part of it was that we can't continue on this path that we're on, that we need to sort of wake up, look around, and realize a lot of industries are getting worse and not better. And in turn, we need to elect leaders that are willing to adjust this economy and gear us up for the 21st century.
Yeah, but you also came to the conclusion that all those years that you've been told you can be anything you want, the future is yours, you've been duped, you say.
We have, yeah. That was the angle that I took. And part of it was that I felt, we do feel betrayed. A lot of us in that audience were our parents were sort of shocked and a little disappointed that on a day of congratulations we had such a downer address.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of us thought that it was, you know, almost a good awakening, that this is something we're feeling but isn't voiced, and that we have been duped, that we've always been told, you know, get into a good college, work hard, and the future's yours. You know, whatever career you want, a comfortable life, all of those things tied to a college degree.
So, Amy, safe nostrums or maybe a slap across the face, as Barbara Ehrenreich delivered.
Well, what I love about that was she's a provocateur, and I really like the way she sort of went against the grain. And, of course, in her career, she has seen very close up. Actually, she's seen close up what happens if you don't get a college degree.
Nickel and dime, sure.
Yeah. So I appreciate her point of view. I also, it makes me think about these parents, like Brian's parents, who maybe, I know a lot of parents of young people today, and I would include myself, you know, these helicopter parents that hover over their kids, mm-hmm. even through college. You know, now we're seeing that parents are continuing to, because we want to cushion this generation from the inevitable, which is debt and disappointment. Wow. We continue to try and fix them up with jobs. I understand that parents are pursuing internships on their kids' behalf. I have a wonderful young graduate of the University of Pennsylvania available for an internship, and it's their mom. So one of the things, you know, that happens at graduation time is that we parents need to figure out how to let our kids sort of march on without all of these absolutes and without cushioning them as much as we have been. Mm-hmm. And it's a shock.
Brian, I think that there are other things inevitable beyond debt and disappointment, however, and you're going back
divorce.
That comes in both categories, Amy. But you're going back to Haverford in the fall?
I will. I'll be a senior in the fall, 2 semesters left, and very excited to go back. And definitely excited about prospects, a little nervous. It is a big step out there, and I think it's become a harder step, but we approach it with excitement and pride.
Brian Till, a rising senior at Haverford College. He wrote an op-ed in the Baltimore Sun about Barbara Ehrenreich's commencement address at Haverford this year. He joined us today here in Studio 3A. Thanks very much and good luck to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
We'll continue hearing your best and worst advice to a graduate, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. Amy Dickinson is with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Some of the best advice you hear is often given to new graduates. Dr. Seuss famously told a graduating class in classic Dr. Seuss fashion, "As you partake of the world's bill of fare, that's darn good advice to follow. Do a lot of spitting out the hot air and be careful what you swallow." And this bit of advice from Bill Cosby, "Try not to make changes in the world, make changes in yourself, and that will make changes in the world." As any new graduate will tell you, not all of the advice they get is so good. Call us and tell us what graduation advice you've given or received, the best and the worst, and did you take it? 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. You can also check out our blog, npr.org/blogofthenation. Amy Dickinson is with us. She writes the syndicated column Ask Amy for the Chicago Tribune. And let's see if we can get another caller on the line. And this is Marta. Marta with us from Ann Arbor in Michigan.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I recently graduated from the University of Michigan. And our commencement speaker was also Bill Clinton. And I thought it was just very funny hearing your guest talk about his speech years ago, because his speech really was quite the same at our conference. So,
well, you know, once you've got a good speech, you don't want to let it go.
But you know what? And if it was effective, so.
You know what's funny is that his career is not unlike it was 25 years ago. He's an ex, you know, he's a former leader, and he is kind of looking back in retrospect, and he's, I'm sure, now has a lot to look forward to. One thing I like about Bill Clinton, too, is that he really does believe in the promise of youth. I mean, I think it's very clear.
Well, I mean, it was definitely, I guess, a crowd pleaser. I don't know if that's appropriate to say for a graduation speech, but, I mean, really, it was very effective. People really enjoyed it, and, I mean, of course, there were a few comments about his being up for election, but it was just a very interesting speech. Mm.
If that was good advice you got from the former president, did you get any bad advice?
You know, I've gotten advice about very specific paths, and people talking about the bad economy in Michigan and how it's all about job security right now and how I should go into a field that's safe. But I'm really not taking it. So, so we'll see in a few years if that was if that was a wise choice.
All right, Marta. Thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Get into a safe field. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that.
Well, you know, it's funny. Today I was talking to a young woman who just graduated from Pomona College in California. And I asked her if she'd received any advice. And she said her grandfather said to her, this was like 2 days ago, her grandfather said, get a career, don't be a bum. And I thought, well, that's... But, you know, she explained to me he had been a Holocaust survivor. He had lived through, you know, he had this amazing life experience. And he was very concerned because she got a degree in liberal arts. And he said, why don't you be a doctor or an accountant? Like, he put those two together, like, mm-hmm. just get a career. And I would put that in the category of maybe not so great advice. It's completely understandable that people suggest that. But my advice would be to take a job, almost any job, because I think that young graduates need to have the experience of working in the world. And as I recall my first job, unlike Katie Couric, although I wanted to have her career, I did not have her first job. I worked in a bicycle shop and for a woman who was very entrepreneurial, and I watched this woman run a business. And what an experience. What an experience. I never went into business, but what I learned from watching her was really invaluable.
Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. Kelly with us from Moscow, Idaho.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
In 2001, I graduated with my undergrad, and this actually kind of goes along the lines of what Amy had mentioned. My dad said to me, don't panic if your first job isn't your dream job. And he said the best way to find a job is when you already have one. And I really took that to heart. And it's very intimidating when you hear about people in their 30s already that have these phenomenal careers and amazing experiences, and then to be coming out of university to say, oh, where do I fit into all of this?
Yeah, yeah. So what was your first job?
Well, actually, in next week, I will be graduating with my PhD, so maybe I'll get some more great advice then. But now I'm working for the USDA, so actually a pretty decent job.
Not so bad. It's got benefits.
Yes, it does.
And health coverage.
That's
those
right.
Two words that a parent most wants to hear. Thanks very much for the call, Kelly. And
thank you.
Good luck with the degree.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Amy, that not loving your first job, that's important because you do have to figure out the way of the world.
Absolutely. And I really do feel, and I think it's harder for young graduates now than it was maybe when I was their age, but I think it's really important to plan if you can't do it immediately. I was blessed in a way because I wasn't able to go home again. There was certainly no jobs where I was from. And so I actually went and lived in a place where I wanted to live, like the caller who went to Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I chose to live where I wanted to be, and then I just started the process of working. And working was something I had never quite done before. I mean, it was an experience to work, to get a check, to cash it, to pay my bills. That was huge for me. That was grad school. 2 years spent working in very menial jobs really gave me this, you know, this idea of what I wanted to do creatively, what I wanted to do practically, and pretty soon I was able to do it.
Here's an email from Noah in Madison, Wisconsin. The best piece of advice I've ever heard at a commencement came from one of the Zucker brothers of Zucker, Zucker, and Abrams of Airplane and Top Secret. He spoke at my wife's commencement. His advice was, don't buy furniture. He meant don't put down too many roots when you're young because they will keep you from having adventures. Great advice, which we have both taken to heart.
Yeah, I love that. Isn't that what futons are all about?
Let's get Larry on the line. Larry with us from Phoenix.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah,
sure.
This is advice I actually learned for myself and gave to some recent graduates. Live below your means. In other words, don't try to live up to what expectations socially might be for what you should be, how you should be living, what you should be driving. That way your earnings that you do have can start working for you. Plus, you'll be more adaptable and able to respond if some other opportunity comes with kind of goes along with the don't buy furniture idea.
Hmm. Live below your means. My first job, I couldn't possibly have lived below my means and eaten anything.
Yes, but you've done so well despite that.
Despite that, yes. I've managed to suffer through. I didn't have any furniture either, but that came later. The futon on the mattress on the bed. Hadn't invented futons yet. Larry, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And you know what? I think that is actually fantastic advice because it has to do with not getting into debt. I mean, I think that a lot of young people now, they already have credit cards. They're graduating, as Barbara Ehrenreich noted, not only with school loans, but a lot of them are graduating with a sizable consumer credit card debt. This is a mistake. This is a mistake. So, yeah, I think that's fantastic advice. I wish I had known it sooner.
Mm-hmm. Bill is next. Bill calling us from Driggs, Idaho.
Hi. My main advice to a graduate would be, yes, take risks, pursue your muse, but start a Roth IRA and invest it in the highest dividend-paying stock that you can find, and put $50 to $100 in it every month, even if you can't eat.
Even if you can't eat. That's solid advice, don't you think, Amy?
Well, this falls under one of my favorite pieces of financial advice I've ever heard, and it was so memorable, I really took it to heart. Pay yourself first. That's what he's saying. Pay yourself first. You know, these days with automatic withdrawal, you can actually start to fund your retirement at age 22, 23, and I was of the ripe old age of around 35 when I figured out this whole thing with Roth IRAs. And when I looked and saw, you know, what would have happened if I'd put even a very small amount away starting at age 22, 23. I mean, it's amazing. You can do so well in life if you do that.
Hmm.
Be a millionaire by the time you're 35. if you put it in a high dividend paying stock and reinvest the dividends.
And the market does well. But anyway, here's an email along the same lines from Eric in Madison, Wisconsin. No matter what career you want, learn how to bartend. No matter what the economy does, you'll always be able to get work. So,
you know, the other version of that is learn how to waitress, mm-hmm. in my case. And I have to say, I was the world's worst waitress, but I certainly felt that way right out of college when I waitressed for a little while. I thought, man, talk about a skill you can always use. And there, you know, at times it can be a second job. I completely agree.
Bill, thanks very much. And are you an IRA millionaire after all these years?
Well, actually, I only started doing it recently, but it is very helpful.
All
very
right. Helpful. Good luck with it.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Let's talk with, this is Russ. Russ with us in Tucson, Arizona.
Hi.
How you doing, Russ?
Good. My advice would be, as you set out to save the world, you may find that the world does not want to be saved. It wants to be left alone.
Huh. So what action should stem from that piece of advice?
Well, I'm not sure. They can take it to heart any way they can.
But, you know, come on, what would this world be like if young people left it alone? I mean, one thing I love about this time of year is about, you know, it's one of those few times when we're really exposed en masse to the culture of the young. And as we watch them sort of make these transitions, it's a time for all of us adults to think about what sort of world we're leaving them. And I love the fact that they leave college and they have the energy and that they want to make a difference.
Or perhaps it's us old folks that should leave the world alone.
You're probably right about that, Russ.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much for the call. Let's go to, this is Ann. Ann with us from Beulah, Michigan.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I don't want to sound cynical at all, but all I would say is take into consideration who it is that's giving you advice.
Yeah.
I always say that my college years taught me how to ask questions and how to hear the answers.
So consider the source, in other words.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Was there ever an example where you benefited from applying this piece of logic?
Oh, yeah, my college advisor, for one. And later, too. Well, in many situations.
Why don't you give us one?
Okay. My college advisor suggested a well-rounded education. And at the time, I should have considered where he was coming from in saying that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of the old way of thinking. And as much as I loved my education because it was well-rounded, it may not have been as practical as something mm-hmm. a little more...
Those philosophy credits looking not too practical at this particular moment, eh?
Yeah, I mean, you know, not just that, but languages and think, you know, writing, things like that.
Well,
unless you narrow it down to something you really, really want.
Well, then operating on the consider the source question, you've now gone on to be a wild success in the field of.
Actually, I did end up being a teacher and a writer, but not a wild success. I mean, it's been a life that I wouldn't change for anything, but it has had its sacrifices.
Mm-hmm. Well, Anne, thanks very much for the call, and good luck to you.
Okay, thanks.
We're talking about advice for graduates, both good and bad. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Amy Dickinson, you mentioned earlier in the broadcast, your daughter graduates this weekend. Come across. What advice are you going to have for her?
Well, actually, I heard some advice this morning at their final assembly. The head of her school said to them, "You're all connected." And I loved that. And what he was saying was that you're all connected to one another. You're all, this is a home for you. You're welcome to come back home anytime. But also your actions are connected. And I really thought that was very powerful because young people need to know that they can make mistakes, they can take risks, but that their actions, like what they do, makes a difference. I think that's really vital. I would also add this, just practically, Neil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, guys, clean up your MySpace pages. Hello.
There's some evidence out there you may not want prospective employers to be taking a look at, and believe me, they will.
Right. So it's time now. You just take those first few days after college and clean it up.
Let's see if we can get another caller in. This is Joe. Joe with us from Barnes Corners in New York.
Hi.
Hey, Joe.
I'm an old guy, and we live way up here in the North Country, and I've been corralled to give a couple graduation speeches. And my best advice to the kids was to call your mother on a regular basis.
You're not going to get much argument here, I don't think.
Yeah, I love that. And actually, that's along the lines of very, very practical advice, but it's also philosophical. You know, what Joe's saying is keep your connections to your family. This is along the lines of take care of your knees. You'll need them one day.
That's correct. Most of the kids up here who are talented in any way have to leave to get a decent job.
It's part of the problems of the economy up there in the North Country, right?
Right. So... that was my advice. Call your mother.
Call your mother. I love that. But, Joe, I know the North Country really well, and I know that young people who go out and make their way in the world, some of us are very eager to go back to our hometowns and try and stay.
Yeah. Well, my son is in California, but he's done very well. He has his doctorate in physics, and he works for Intel. So the kids up here have done well. It's just they haven't done well here.
Yeah. The weather in California is just the same as it is in the North Country. Thanks very much for the call.
Yeah, take care.
Good luck. Let's see if we can get one last caller in. We just have a few seconds for Kathy. Kathy with us from Flagstaff, Arizona.
Hi, Neil. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I graduated in 1983 from the University of Michigan when it was very difficult to find a job in Michigan, but Lee Iacocca spoke at my commencement, and he told us to get mad. And that came as real good advice. As I was trying to find work, I decided that I wanted to become a college recruiter because I got so mad at the recruiters who wouldn't hire me.
Huh. And did you succeed?
I did. I have worked since then in human resources and have had a very good career, although I took my sabbatical early and had to take a break and go drive a tour tram in Zion National Park for a few years. But other than that, it really did work for me, and I am grateful to him still.
Now, channel your anger, Amy. That's not such bad advice either.
I love it, and I love it especially from Lee Iacocca. You know, he's a visionary in many ways and very creative, and I love the idea because he's basically telling people to be passionate. That's great.
That's exactly right, and he really did speak to a group of people who needed some passion, so I appreciated it.
Kathy, thanks for the call. Good luck.
Thank you.
And Amy, have a great time tomorrow at your daughter's graduation.
Thank you, Neil.
Amy Dickinson writes the syndicated column Ask Amy for the Chicago Tribune. She joined us from NPR's Bureau in Chicago. When we come back, it's farewell to a celebrity column. We'll find out why. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.